Many of you know I'm a true advocate for taking supplementation to optimize your health, and one of the best things you can do is choose the right collagen. Collagen is a building block to your entire body. I was introduced to Sparkle Wellness product Skin Boost Plus about a year ago, and I've been taking it ever since. Now they've launched a new bone strength product that I'm super excited about. New Osteo Boost Collagen is formulated to improve bone mineral density, something we all need to think about as early as age 40. Made with award-winning collagen peptide known as Fortibone, the product really has led to meaningful results for people who need significant improvement in this area, including those suffering with fractures or broken bones. OsteoBoost is a great choice for anyone over the age of 40 to reduce the risk of bone mineral density loss, a major precursor to the diagnosis of bone-related diseases. Right now, you can get any of the Sparkle Wellness collagen supplements from Amazon or from their website, lovesparkle.life. And use my code DRFIT for 20% off. That's DRFIT at lovesparkle.life for 20% off their new product, OsteoBoost. Welcome to the Fit and Fabulous podcast with Dr. Jamie Seaman. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Jamie, and welcome back to the Fit and Fabulous podcast. It is so wonderful to have you here today. We have a very different topic on today's podcast, you guys. We are not going to bore you with saturated fat and hormones and estrogen. I mean, who knows? Maybe we will. Who knows what Sandy and I might start talking about? But I am super excited about today's guest because she is going to talk about something that we've never talked about on this podcast before. But Sandy Krakowski is her name, and she is an amazing woman. I found her on social media and started following her. I'm like, who is this chick? I want to be friends with her. But she is a woman that started her first multi-million dollar corporation as a young mom and has overcome so many of her own obstacles, both personally and professionally. She is the founder and president of her current company, A Real Change International, Inc. Sandy takes pride in the fact that these companies conduct business in ways that bring faith into the workplace, bringing together happiness, kindness, faith, strategic principles that bring results for business owners and employees. Sandy has spent almost three decades working successfully in online marketing and business. She retired in early 2021 and committed to mentoring people in the investment space. She leads a group of over 2,500 plus investors every single week in her masterclass. Don't let me shortchange you. In addition to empowering and equipping her online audience, she enjoys spending time reading books, working out, hiking, traveling, drinking good wine, eating chocolate. But her favorite thing is to spend time with her sons, Jeremiah, Justin, and Bobby, daughter-in-law who loves, Holly and Abigail, and her absolutely adorable grandsons, Luca and Halston. I've seen them on social media.
Well, here's the thing, because I think when we first started talking, Bobby hadn't gotten married. So now there's Holly, there's Abigail, there's Annie, and there's Luca, and okay, you've already seen him, but like the most scrumptious grandbaby.
Oh, I love a good squishy baby, Sandy. You know.
Oh my God. His
but thighs. I like delivering him and then sending him home with someone else.
I just want to eat his thighs every day.
YouTube gets to see the baby. Sorry, you podcast listeners. You have to pretend
so
you saw that.
Yummy with the two teeth.
They're just the best, but they grow so fast. It's just like.
We're not going to talk about saturated fats, but French fries are my favorite. And I know you're keto, but I'm not changing.
I saw your post this morning. It's so good. Okay. You have accomplished a lot in your life, and we're going to dive into your expertise, and you're going to teach me like I'm a 10-year-old learning how to invest money. But where does this entrepreneurial spirit come from?
Well, that's an interesting question that I've asked myself for many, many years. And when I retired in 21, I literally walked away from multi-million dollar retainers and masterminds. And I was writing direct response marketing copy for mom and pop and big companies like Cisco. And I knew that the next season of my life was not going to happen unless I pulled back. And I love mentoring entrepreneurs, but I really felt like that fire was starting to dim. You know what I mean? I had helped so many people also become millionaires and things, and was really grooming my son, Jeremiah. He runs his own firm now. And then people started coming out of the woodwork saying, would you teach us investments? And like my first reply was, you know, for all those who are on audio, hand in face, what? I didn't retire so you could summon me out. You know,
yeah.
I have homeschooled all three of my kids. I have built 18 companies. I have not breathed in years. And I just got my health and my life back. The last thing I'm going to do is build another company and go back full time. But I promised 1 hour a day and it blew up. And it has been the most rewarding thing I have ever done in the business financial world. Here, let me shut Discord for a
quick. I love that. I love that.
I mean, like I've mentored some great groups of people, but Jamie, these people get up at 8:30 in the morning, 5:30 Pacific time. And they're with me for an hour. And they, like, we talk about stocks. We talk about everything. When the stock market's not doing anything, they just get me unfiltered, which could be, you know, a whole plethora of who knows what topic's going to come out of my mouth. Whether I'm tired or not will determine it, how filtered I am. But having a blast. And, you know, I started my own business in 1992, 1993-ish. And had nothing, no experience with the internet, like nothing. So when people are like, well, where did this come from? I wanted my kitchenware for free. Like I literally was making bread from scratch and had three boys eating it up and realized if I could just get a bigger mixer, I could make 10 pounds of dough and this would make my life easier. Well, said mixer was, you know, $400 and the grain mill was going to be more and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, okay, I'll start a business and sell enough just to cover my costs.
What was your first business?
Was a kitchenware store selling grain mill. I decided to wholesale them.
Okay.
And then they said, you need an EIN. And I was like, an EI who? I was so green. High school education too. So like, I have no business accolades. I have nothing that says it should set me up for success other than an insatiable desire to figure stuff out.
To get your mixer, you sold 10 mixers and get your mixer free.
And then I have all these people talking about it. And I'm like, I'm start studying these people online who are selling them. Very few people selling them online. Most were only sold in mom and pop stores and parties and Bosch kitchenware and whatever. Very rarely could you get it online back then. So I got on the phone like any self-respecting entrepreneur who doesn't know what she's doing, but is convinced she can do this does. So what do I got to do to put this online? We don't do that. So what do I need to do to get you to put it there online? I still am blown away at my boldness today. Like who did I think I was? And they went, well, you'll have to buy this many. I was, cool, I'll get you an order next week. So I went to all the homeschooling groups that I was meeting in forums and said, anybody want to go on a group order? And I made $30,000 my first year.
Wow.
I started researching, which is, I would later discover most of my gifts in the pursuit of this first business. I began to research and I saw all different kinds of ways people were doing things. And I didn't realize my brain started picking up trends and patterns of how they do it, which is a whole other story. Where did that innate ability to watch trends and patterns come from?
Yeah.
From a traumatic childhood and having to study predators who were abusing me and getting very focused on all of their mannerisms. You put me in front of a computer and I'm instantly was watching trends and patterns. Well, I made my first million by the next year. Completely self-taught, high school education. And then I was scared out of my wits. Like, what have I done? Because now all of a sudden,
Imposter syndrome. Like maybe I just like, got lucky.
Imposter syndrome times 100. All these companies are asking me who I am. And I'm like inwardly thinking, I'm nothing. Why are you bothering me? And then the pressure came from competitors and people like, what do you think you're doing putting this online? I was not prepared for that. I had no clue that that was out there. And that a small homeschooling mom in the middle of nowhere selling kitchenware from online would threaten an industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, by the next year, I made $4.5 million and the threatening got even more.
Wow.
And yeah, I was homeschooling my kids and I was battling lupus and I was dealing with trauma that was still in my brain and had not been healed yet. And so I quickly got into the 100-hour work week. And long story short, I ended up shutting that business down, selling it to the suppliers of who were selling me all my goods after about 4.5 years because I couldn't do it. And I swore I'd never start a business again. I will.
Were you
never...
a one-woman show or did you have any employees?
I had one employee. I look back and I'm like, what was I thinking? Nowadays, people hear all these gurus and they set up their website and they've got 9 different employees and they're outsourcing to 10 different whatevers and they still haven't even made their first 50,000 yet. Here I was bringing millions in and doing it with one person online, live chat, myself and my boys packing things up in the basement.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Like, what's an allowance? I don't believe in that, but I'll hire you. And if you'd like to make some money, mom will hire you and teach you where money comes from. It's an exchange of value.
Yeah.
And after I shut that down, it wasn't 6 months. People were like, could we just hire you to do our website? Could you just help out a little bit? And I'm like, okay. Mind you, I still didn't realize God had actually called me to do this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I got a clue after I had started 5 different e-commerce businesses and I'm writing copy. And again, I'm bit by this bug. I didn't learn how to work less than 40 hours a week until I was about 15 years in.
Yeah.
And, I was
just embracing the grind.
I was. And I actually really believed that if I put my best effort out there, I would profit. I'm blown away to this day that, I had all kinds of negative beliefs about myself. I had all kinds of negative beliefs about just having a high school education. I had all kinds of limiting beliefs that made me afraid to get rich as a Christian because of all the judgment. So I just gave all the money away, you know, like legit. I gave all the money away the first 10 years, but I didn't have any limiting beliefs that said if I did it right and people paid me, I didn't deserve what they paid me. I didn't have any limiting beliefs that said if I made $1 million by being a very good business owner, that million, I didn't deserve that. I didn't have any of those cockamamie limiting beliefs.
So you've kind of alluded, Sandy, that you have had some health struggles. You mentioned that you were diagnosed with lupus. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your health journey, because part of the reason we connected is I was looking at your investing, but then you and I have spoke before about some of these things. And so take us back to when you were diagnosed and kind of the evolution of in this health journey till now.
Wow. I was diagnosed with systemic lupus in 2004. It was in the late 1990s, after a couple years of running my businesses, that I was diagnosed with the classic trauma pain disease. And again, I don't say that to belittle it or to minimize it, but I would later discover why my body inflamed so much and caused fibromyalgia. And so I had all the classic things and the typical doctor saying, you just need an antidepressant. It's all in your head. I didn't understand it was in my brain affecting my body. So hearing it's all in your head when you're already in hypervigilance doesn't feel safe, you know? And so I was diagnosed with lupus that went into rheumatoid arthritis. We're looking at scans. They were like, you've had arthritis like more than half your life already. and then Crohn's disease, and my gut started to bleed, and I started to experience all of the typical symptoms of your gut bleeding, and was put on low dose hydrocodone in the early 2000s. And by 2015, I had already been given a year to live more than one time.
Wow.
And I filed for divorce in 2015 because that was a whole nightmare on top of it, living with the same kind of person that I grew up with, and which we do. We often seek out the same kind of people and try to change the story, as instead of changing ourselves and seeing we don't want to be around those kinds of people anymore. Mm-hmm. And by 2017, was put on Remicade. I was on OxyContin, and I was on 90 milligrams of prednisone a day. Mind you, I had competed in bodybuilding in my 20s.
Wow.
And I went from that to hardly being able to walk without a walker on all of these high-dose medications. Now I'm taking biologics and fighting for my life and coming out of a horrific divorce. And it was the first time in my life that all my kids are grown now and I'm alone. And it was the first time in my life I literally went like this, Jamie. What do I want? Okay, I've lived for everybody else all these years, but what do I want? And I went on a journey that would start out with trying to get off of that medication. And it would start out with reaching out to traditional type means of healing. And in 2017, I embarked upon a journey where I moved to Arizona to get in front of dry heat and cannabis. And I created my own protocol to wean myself off of all that medication without any side effects other than Remicade, because you got to get that out of the story. And then I met Dr. Erica Schwartz in Manhattan, and she was blown away that I had created such a protocol, that by studying the norepinephrine levels and the dopamine levels and what happens with the inflammatory response and all of that, I got myself off of everything, got myself to start walking, still super inflamed, and you know, connective tissue disorder evidence everywhere. Like when you have, you know, cellulite on the back of your arm and you're only 165 pounds, that's such inflammation. Do you get what I mean? Like, and so then what happened was I got back into the gym. I started working out again. And that personal development of getting in the gym and confronting my own limitations in my head, can I actually lift this weight again? I'm not 30. I was 53 at the time, almost 54. Can I actually do this again? Went from hardly being able to bodyweight squat to leg pressing 550 pounds. I can't even say it without getting emotional. Went from hardly being able to lift a 10-pound dumbbell to benching 135 again in my 50s. And then I embarked upon some deep intensive treatments for trauma. I had been to so many therapists, I was afraid of most of them. But God in his incredible wisdom and connections in business led me to Dr. Michaela Sarno, who led me on a path to do EMDR and parts work. And I began to experience what my brain was like out of hypervigilance. And the inflammation started going down even more. I still am off all the opiates. I've never gone back on the prednisone. I went on opiates with pneumonia one time, and I went on opiates with the infection in my tooth that went in my jaw. But I mean, I was on like a baby dose. I went from 140 milligrams of OxyContin to nothing for 5 years to using 5 milligrams and not even being able to tolerate 5 milligrams. And then in the last year, Erica and I began to develop some more protocols with the peptides and using HGH for inflammation, not anti-aging. That was just a side effect, but getting the inflammation down and watching my body respond to reintegration with the trauma, helping my brain to stay out of hypervigilance And in the first week of January of this year, I weaned off of Remicade.
That's incredible. That's incredible. I think that what is so neat about your story, Sandy, is that something that I talk about a lot with my patients and in my social media followers and everybody is that, you know, we see people like you who, you know, build greatness out of the ashes, you know, the depths of despair and where you're at now, not only in your health, but your other, what I would call like your other pyramids of life, right? Financial success, relational success, spiritual success, right? They, all of these things matter and they're all very much interconnected. Mm-hmm. I think the driving force for so many people in healing is exactly how you started this conversation. This big deep breath. What do I want? And I think that a lot of what we do in life is driven by this internal language. And, you know, as you came through your trauma and things like that, your internal language was saying, you know, something. And then at one point you decided that that's not, that didn't fit. That doesn't align with what I truly, you know, feel and want and desire in my life. And that internal language drives action in our life. Action in our life gives us the outcomes. And when you realize that it starts there with that internal language, it is the game changer for people. Whether it's just the lady who wants to lose 100 pounds, yeah. Whether it's Sandy Krakowski that her only goal is to get off her Remicade and OxyContin and whatever it is, yeah. Whether it's I want to get $1 million, whether it's I want to be in, you know, the most amazing marriage. I mean, you can apply this to any area of your life. It is literally, that is the magic sauce, the magic pill, call it whatever you yeah. want, but it's realizing that that internal language about who you are mm-hmm. and what you're capable of, because I think humans are really afraid to, there is a level of fear associated with realizing that you literally can attain anything. Mm. You can, when you allow these things into your life, when you, I mean, you talk about it, your faith, you know, when you let God realize your skills and your assets and your value, yeah. it's unstoppable, right? You're powerful beyond measure. And that's terrifying to us because it's we live hard. In a world where people place limits on us. And sometimes they're very much self-imposed limits. And
it's hard as hell to kill is yeah. what you become. You become yeah. hard to kill. You know what, yeah. Jamie, is so wild? I had built all those companies, did 9 figures in sales, like high eight figures in profit. And I thought I wasn't smart enough for the stock market.
Right.
I never even invested anything. I didn't create a retirement fund. All that money, that's because of my internal language. I had no issue with making money. I had no issue with starting over. I had no issue with pulling myself up and doing what was required. But to be able to set myself up for success personally, that's when the challenge really became. And when I realized, hey, why do I think I'm not smart enough for the stock market? And then I did that. I approached it like a baby. I didn't know anything. And I it wasn't even 6 months and I started seeing similarities. Oh my gosh, there's this higher echelon conversation about the stock market that makes you think you're not educated enough, verified enough, smart enough to join the culture. There's all these secrets that you're supposed to learn. And if you don't know them, you'll be broke. Well, I did none of that. I instantly began to see trends and patterns again in the stock market. I began to watch the charts and it was like, my brain just went there. And I was like, well, yeah. If I enter here and I exit there, and I made $3 million in under 3 years
yeah.
with an initial $5,000 investment, wow. I didn't realize that what I had done before was going to set me up for success here. I already knew how to research companies. I already knew how to check what some company's moat was and their growth and whether or not they're going to stand and all this kind of stuff. But it was looking at what was in front of me and feeling the uncomfortableness of, oh my gosh, what is this? And then all the dissociation starts coming in. You know what I mean? I'm not smart enough. So your brain just starts to look away. Yep. I don't know if I could ever learn this. And you start to feel sleepy when you're supposed to be studying, you know, all of the stuff that the ego and the unconscious does to take us away from anything uncomfortable. And yep. then I had to be willing now in a new awareness, I'm no longer like stuck in my unconscious all the time. I'm now aware of all this happening, confronting every single one of those beliefs. So yeah. I did like a maniac with my therapist, like, okay, we need to start confronting this. And I also had to humble myself because I knew so much I was getting dangerous to my own self. Because I thought I could just figure it out. I figured shit out my whole life. Why can't I figure this out? And yeah. I realized, well, because it's a place you've never been before. And so it was the greatest pivotal moment to then impart that to my new students. You know, because I was learning it fresh. And I was learning the pitfalls. And I was learning the delusions in the market. And I was learning where you need to have some respect for your own recklessness and your own yeah. greed and doubt and fear. And it all started with the same internal conversation that challenged me. Could I actually go back in the gym after walking with a walker and being on all this medication at 53 years old?
Yep.
It's the same conversation that challenged me. What if you actually did get healed and you became who you were made to be rather than obsessing about finding a husband and you created this incredible life for yourself that you actually started becoming highly attractive to the man that you actually deserve as opposed to yeah. lowering myself and lowering myself and lowering myself because I'm such a threat.
Yeah, it's you honored your word and you just didn't give up. But I think another thing, you know, in your story that you kind of touched on is that you got out of your marriage, you started to align yourself with, you know, certain practitioners, you moved yes. to a certain location.
Yes.
I think another really big piece of your story is that who we align and surround ourselves with is literally who we become.
Yes.
So if you stay in places that are toxic and that reinforce these limiting beliefs, that is where you will stay. And exactly. it's just so important to find and connect with those people that you aspire to, you know? And so somebody listening right now, you know, is going to say, well, holy crap, I have Crohn's. Maybe I can, you know, right. get better and get off my Remicade, or, you know, maybe I'm completely broken, or I have $5,000. How do I, you know, invest right. that? But I think it's who you have put yourself in front of, Sandy, you know, that has really catapulted you into this level of orbit that is so amazing to watch. So today, give us like a 5 minute. So how do you, your lifestyle, how do you eat? How do you exercise? Obviously you're doing the peptides and things like that and mm-hmm. things your practitioners want, but what are the big kind of take home messages for somebody listening with some sort of lupus, RA, Crohn's, you know, that would help them, you know, today to feel better?
And this is hard to say because it usually overwhelms people, but I feel like I have to say it. And knowing who you are, I know you'll agree with me. If you have a doctor who's not listening, if you have a doctor who immediately dismisses any notion of being able to have better quality of life. My goal wasn't even to come off Remicade. My goal was to have better quality of life. My goal was to get to the point that I actually could still be strong as my grandchildren are born. Mind you, I've been told I have a year to live multiple times. So I didn't even know this was possible. Dr. Erica Schwartz had to begin to cast that vision that it might not happen overnight, but if you'll hang in there with me, we actually can re-engineer your body. Like, that was a foreign concept to me. Biohacking and re-engineering my body and supporting my body to do what it knows to do and paying attention when I do need medication to help my body over the threshold. Like, I'm not anti-pharma, you know what I mean? But I'm anti-over-medicating. And mm-hmm. so I had to know when it was okay to fire a doctor because they're not serving me. And I also had to make sure I was a good patient. So if Erica says, I want labs from you 4 times a year, I don't get labs once a year and expect her to serve me at the highest level that she's capable of. When we began to examine what I was eating in that, initially it was very restrictive to watch my inflammatory response. Then I had to literally pay attention to that. And what's inflaming me here might not inflame me a year or two later. I think a lot of times, you know, I come from the bodybuilding community and this hyper dieting, and it's super easy to be restrictive. So I immediately went there, and I had to realize my body needed specific things to help me heal. When I first started working with her, I couldn't even tolerate 50 carbs a day. I could hardly tolerate 25, but that wasn't because I was healthy and doing keto and doing the right amount of fat and all this kind of stuff. It was because I was so accustomed to starving myself. Was a recovering eating disorder and body dysmorphia. So she began to challenge me on adding more things, because we're going to now help your metabolic function to restore. We're going to help you to have metabolic, you know, flexibility. So that if you do eat something that typically might not inflame you, you know, we need to get to the point where that doesn't throw you off for a week. And it took a while. It took some serious humility. When Erica first said to me, I want you on no supplements for a month, I thought she was out of her mind. And then she took the time to explain, your liver is so overly taxed, Sandy, from constantly taking all these supplements that everybody you're reading about online is taking. I need a clear slate, because I can't even tell from your labs if your labs are being artificially gone in the wrong direction or the right direction because of a supplement, or if there's actually an addition to a supplement that's actually causing this. It's not even the supplements. It's what they processed it with. And after a month, I had clear-headedness that I had not had in probably 30 years. And then she began, I to this day only take supplements that she takes labs for. So she takes the labs and lets me know what I need. And I don't take what I don't need.
Yeah, that's an important thing. There's like 9 million people could, I mean, I have seen patients come in with a backpack of supplements, and they're like, which one of these should I take? And I'm like, okay, we're going to stop all these.
None of them.
And they look at me and they're like, I'm like, no. Seriously. Because if you're in here for a problem and you're taking all of this and it's not making you better, then this isn't working. So
this is doing is feeding your gut, and you could be
tear down the house.
Yes.
And we're going to rebuild it. Okay.
We're going to gut that SOB. No pun intended.
I mean,
so then what was interesting is also understanding where you get your supplements. Like, also, like, mind you, I started on injectable peptides when they weren't sexy. Now they are available on every street corner, on every website, and 90% of those people are not supplying quality peptides.
Oh no, very dangerous.
No, like, and the interesting thing is, because Erica's been in biohacking and all that for years and a pioneer, she knows where to source it. Now, then immediately people say, but I can't afford that. Well, why do you think I work so hard to help people make more money? Yeah. Because when you have the option.
You don't want that to be a rate limiting step of whatever.
No. And then the other thing is, let's throw this wild curveball in there. I had a hysterectomy in 95. So now I've got my ovaries, and I'm not on any estrogen. I'm not on any progesterone. I'm not on anything. First thing she did is put me on 2 milligrams of testosterone cream and estrogel. Oh my God. I actually slept.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, I know you were taking the cannabis and all that to wean off of opiates. What I want you to do is microdose everything. I want you to take the tiniest dose that gets us the biggest result. And she said, and I don't care if you need to wake up in the middle of the night and use it again. I need deep sleep out of you. I need 8 hours. For a year. And I was like, are you insane? I have not slept 8 hours my entire life. I don't ever remember having slept 8 hours. Welcome to the life of trauma and hypervigilance. So when I started sleeping 8 hours, it was like, holy cow, your brain starts
game changer.
Your body fat starts burning differently. Your metabolic function cannot operate without sleep. I don't care how many peptides you're on. I don't care how many carbs you don't eat. I don't care what you
or your backpack of supplements.
Yeah, like, hello. I don't really care what you leg press or lift. You are a walking heart attack waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Because the homocysteine levels alone, you know what I mean? Yep. From not sleeping. So then I had to realize she's testing me for labs, you know, four times a year. She's growing with me. Like, this is the first time I had ever encountered a doctor that would walk that with me. We've been working together for 7 years.
Yeah.
And Jamie, I talked to you when I got a tooth infection that was so bad, it went into the pulp, it went into my jaw, it went into the bone. Like, it was bad, bad. And I'm on immunosuppressive still, Remicade. And Erica, that took us almost 8 months to get that inflammation down. That took a full freaking year until my labs even showed any normalcy. I had to pull back from a lot of workouts, go to only 2 or 3 days a week because my body just couldn't recover. And again, I had to be humble enough, willing to partner with my doctor, willing to say when something's changing, I'm not feeling right, I'm not sleeping again, I'm having crazy dreams, I'm waking up with my heart racing, I'm waking up with night sweats, whatever it is, constantly bring her that data if something changes and track my sleep and track what we're doing. And I even got out of that. And that's when we did a study and we realized I had two of the mother genes. Well, trauma is one thing to cause all that inflammation, but those two mother genes are another animal that were fighting me. So when she put me on LDN, holy crap. I had never experienced, like, I dropped 7 pounds in 1 month and I moved to Texas, which is uber humid because of my inflammation going down again. Because going from dry heat to humidity, I thought, I'm prepared. We know how to handle inflammation. We'll be okay.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any. Putting me on the methylfolate and LDN again was like a game changer. Now, I had known about LDN years ago, but Erica was like, yeah, but your brain was so trapped still in trauma. She watched me and gently coached me to find a better therapist and find the work I needed. And it wasn't until you could tell that I wasn't in hypervigilance all the time. My speech became more articulate. My ability to communicate, even if I disagree, changed. The defensiveness dropped. You know, that then it was time. And isn't it wild? LDN and methylfolate cost me maybe what, $70 a month?
So for people listening, LDN is low-dose naltrexone, so used by some functional integrative providers for a variety of reasons, but yeah.
It doesn't make big pharma a ton of money, so that's why they basically don't mention it, and neither does methylfolate.
Cheap, effective things don't make people millionaires.
They just don't.
Yeah.
And then last month, she put me on a whole mitochondria repairing protocol because Remicade can cause some adrenal insufficiency.
Yeah,
I am now
doing a lot of extra work.
I'm now officially a pincushion. Like, those of you who are on the audio,
pain, no gain.
See this,
no pain, no gain.
I have to go like, okay, is there a spot here? Is there a spot here I can poke? Lord help.
So she's doing a lot of injections. Okay. It's it's not for the faint of heart,
but it's worth
it. Yeah. And for me, you know, I call it pay yourself first. You know, if Sandy's not healthy and she's not, her brain isn't working, right? Then how do you be the best at finding figures and patterns and all those things? So I think it's just incredible what you're doing. So keep kicking ass and stay hard to kill. You know, I'm here to be your cheerleader.
People ask me, why are you doing this? And I'm like, because my second grandson was just born.
And you want to be here for a really long time.
Oh my God. When I was able to get on the floor with him when he's born, you have to understand, I am still very aware that 7 years ago, I would have not have been on the floor. When my 7-year-old grandson came and I'm able to run up and down 2 flights of stairs, bowl with him, chase him in the arcade, that I wouldn't have even gone to the arcade 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be hard to kill and watch my great grandchildren be born.
Amen. I'll cheers to that. I'll let you pour the wine, but it has to be after October 1st.
I'm not drinking wine anymore either.
Okay. Like, okay.
Not because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going sober or whatever, but I know with LDN and where I was, it's not going to be helpful. If I want to in the future, sure. But right now I really want to set myself up so that my body thrives and so that we can repair some of what Remicade may have done. And
I love it. You're not laying down your own speed bumps. That's for sure.
No, I'm not worried about it.
Okay. You're going to teach me, how to be a millionaire, Sandy. So, talk to me like I'm a 10-year-old cause I'm just a gynecologist. Okay. So,
Lord have
mercy. I'm just a vagina doctor. That's what I say on social media. So
catch souls as they enter Earth. Gosh,
it's a very
what a high honor.
it's amazing. It's incredible. And honestly, childbirth, witnessing childbirth is just, so cool. And there is, when you've delivered I've delivered thousands of babies. The coolness wears off, especially at about 3 a.m. but I will tell you each and every time it is just like, it is so incredible to be a part of that and be a part of that moment with a patient. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're watching the dad tear up, like it's just, and this is like a day and a moment in time that will be celebrated annually.
Yeah.
Like this moment right here. It's just, it's really honestly, it's humbling to be a witness to that on a regular basis. It's just absolutely incredible. Okay. We have to talk about investing.
I have to say this though, having three children, and I have three children in heaven through miscarriage, but I have always said, I have never encountered the thin place that exists like right when a child's born, where it literally feels for a few seconds like heaven and earth have no separation. Like it is a thin place where if you were to just go, you'd see heaven.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it stops because the baby screams and people are crying.
Reality.
We're back to earth.
There's blood. There's amniotic fluid.
But it's like, right? But for just a split second, it's like,
yeah,
there's a human in there coming out.
it's amazing. It's amazing.
So, you know, I never wanted to be a millionaire. Isn't that wild? I didn't ask God to make me a millionaire. I wasn't like writing it on my vision board. I'm going to be a millionaire. But I got really good at sales and I got really good at closing the sale. And I got really good at trying to find what people wanted and how could I serve them.
Yeah. And you provided value and you were just rewarded for that value.
And when I went into the stock market, the thing that I realized is there is more than 20 ways to make money in the stock market. So as soon as some of these people on Reddit and Twitter and all the other gurus start saying, no, this is the way, you're screwed because they're only holding to one way. Now, obviously, the way that I teach is going to hold to what has had the most success for me and my clients. But one of the first things I did is have people take the Kolbe A index test, because Kolbe is not personality. Kolbe is not even your Enneagram. It is your instinctive nature. Because where
is this something you can find online, like people right now?
Yeah, you can go to kolbe.com and look up the Kolbe A index. Now, your instinctive nature is alive and well, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, whether you're sleep deprived or not, whether you have trauma or not. Like your instinctive nature is number one, your wiring, and number two, your experience. And Jamie, the most profound thing happened to me. We put over 1 million people in my training program for business. I still have an academy that has over 1,500 hours of business training available to people. I pop in there for an hour once a month. Most of the time I have other people leading it though. And I had not even seen this in that community. When you put people in front of the stock market and they're dealing with their own money, their issues with money and with their own beliefs, the market will show you yourself.
Mm-hmm.
this is why we hear of Uncle Joe and Aunt Mary at Thanksgiving, who are like, the market stole $250,000 from us. No, the market can't steal a thing from you. Mm-hmm. But you can make stupid decisions that are ill-advised or governed by emotion that you will probably regret the rest of your life. And most people, rather than saying, as dumb, will blame the market. But the thing that I realized was number one rule that I teach people is stop trading crap stocks. I actually made almost $3 million day trading. I do have a few long holds like Tesla and Apple and the typical ones that people will hold for a while. But in this recent market of ups and downs and ups and downs, I've actually, when it's high, grabbed my cash and wait for it to come back down again. When it's high, grab some cash and wait for it to come down again. And just simply doing that, I realized if I don't trade crap stocks, because that's the main reason people lose money in day trading, they're trading things that by definition, day trading, you've got to get out in a day. Otherwise, you're not a day trader. Well, I basically, you know, the unicorn that I am was like, so who the hell cares if I get out in a day? What if I get out on day four because I made a mistake on my exit and it goes back up again and then I get out? There's no, you know, there's no code that says you can't do that. Very true to my nature in business. I was like, so if I stop trading junk stocks and I start investing things that, first of all, I already know are something I'm intrigued in. Like I trade mostly tech, biotech, and fintech. You know, biology and technology, finances and tech. And tech, why? Because I'm very accustomed with those three realms. Occasionally I'll trade cars because I grew up in Motown. I grew up around the big three. But I don't tiptoe into every realm because I don't need to. That's another thing. Sometimes in creating diversity in your portfolio and diversifying, you can get not good at anything. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people, have your long holds. You might even want to preferably put them in a different brokerage so you're not always looking at them. And if you're going to do any kind of day trading or swing trading, have a separate portfolio for that. Now we're not going to trade junk stocks. And we have to learn how to watch what the candlestick patterns say. And this is where people are like, what, you know, and the technical analysis experts who sound like mathematicians come out of the woodwork with a pattern identifying everything. The one thing we have to remember, and you can relate to this because medicine's the same way, no matter how precise you can get with those patterns, it is still probability. It is never guaranteed. Why is it never guaranteed? For the same reason medicine's never guaranteed, because we're dealing with human beings.
It's like the weather too. I mean, come on. They're wrong a lot of the time. We still check the weather every day.
Exactly. But human beings are predictably irrational. We just are.
And that's a really
good
statement.
That's a really good book too, called Predictably Irrational is the name of the title. It's so good. So when I started doing the stock market, the biggest challenge I had was I'm not in control of all this, because I can invest in something in private equity or real estate, and I'm 100% the commander of my destiny and my investment because I'm deciding where I'm going to put my money. But when I put my money in the stock market, you have insane retail investors who are gambling. You have long-term investors who will never let go of their investment. You have people who follow headlines in the money market like their horoscopes and are telling them what to do. And now you're dealing with all of humanity in the stock market. And initially it was frustrating to me because it was like, I can write a headline and I can write marketing material and I can command that money to come in because I'm that good at marketing, but I can't do that in the stock market. So I had to really learn, it was the same skill, but I had to learn to apply it differently, predict what other people are going to do. Again, all probability.
Yeah.
So I teach people how to look at the headlines and analysts' recommendations, but you also have to take it with a grain of salt because they also have a motive. They also are a lot, I call the mainstream media the largest prostitution ring ever. Like, it's just the truth. And so as a direct response marketing copywriter who wrote for the financial world, realize I want you to do something. And that's not necessarily good places to take advice, but it's a good place to look at what the market might do.
Interesting.
Like, okay. Threads came on board, right? With Instagram.
Yes.
Meta did exactly what we thought it would do. The investors are like, oh my God, oh my God. All these people are excited about Threads. And then all of a sudden Elon starts talking about a lawsuit. Boom, people start taking their profits. You can see the whole emotional roller coaster of all of it right on its stock.
Wow.
And so,
okay. So I have a few questions about investing, and give me like your quickest response.
I will.
I have followers that are in their 20s and in their 70s. Right. When should people start investing?
You should start investing as soon as you have money that can multiply. If you got $10,
a dollar,
you got money
that, $10.
Well, all right. I mean, a dollar or $10 is, $10 might give you a 25 cent return. $1,000 might get you a $50 to $100 return. We've got to be logical. People are like, well, I've got $500 and I'm going to become a millionaire. You could, but it's going to take a whole lot longer. But learning that principle of multiplication is the first thing. And I think it should be taught in schools. Unfortunately, it's not.
What if you have debt? If you have student loan debt, if you have a high debt to income, should you still get into the investing world?
The first thing I teach people is get rid of your consumer debt as quickly as possible. But I believe that you can invest while you're paying off your consumer debt. Because what we want to do is go back to those credit cards and use them to our advantage and not leave any points on the table and milk those companies for every ounce it's worth. You no longer want to be prey for credit card companies. You want to use debt to your advantage. So the first school is you got to pay off all that consumer debt. To be honest with you, student debt, mortgage, that kind of stuff, when you start getting into investments, it's about cash flow. And this is where most people are not financially literate to understand the difference between my income comes in, these are my bills, what is left versus what is cash flow. Because you could pay off your student debts over 20 years and nobody's going to care. You get what I'm saying? But if you were to take half of that you're trying to pay off in 5 years and invest it, you might end up with enough to pay off that entire debt in 5 years by investing half of it. Paying on credit cards is never wise, but using credit cards to your advantage and paying it off at the end of every week is. You know, if you have, I think Dave Ramsey is a great financial system. I've met him personally, had a great opportunity to walk through all of their facilities and learned a lot from them. But I believe he is of the world that is for the fixed income employee who simply wants to not have any debt, wants to put a few investments away and wants to retire and still live on that amount. I tend to employ the idea that what if the certain amount that you start investing is not the amount that you end up with? His philosophy is not multiplication. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for me, paying off a mortgage early doesn't benefit me when I could take some of that money and quadruple it during the 15, 20, 30 years that I'm paying off the mortgage.
Yeah.
Now, because, you know, cash flow is king. Paying on a car is never wise. But if you've got that money in a junk account that you could pay it off, go for it. Because again, cash flow is king. 8% interest on a car is insanity. When we could get it for zero, go for it. Cash flow is king. You get what I'm saying? And it's a difference of being literate on how much cash do I have flowing through and to me. Obviously, make your emergency fund. Get to the point where you have 3 to 6 months of expenses put away. That's your first goal. While you're investing, you can still invest. Take 10% for your emergency fund, 10% for investments, 10%, you know, for home improvement, whatever you do. You have to start paying attention to your money. And most people dissociate when it comes to money, because it's so freaking overwhelming and it can be discouraging. And as soon as you start to really look at it, you can get depressed, but you got to get really comfortable with that uncomfortable to get to a new place.
People just spend their money on dumb stuff, like going through the Starbucks drive-thru and just...
I meet them at Starbucks and I saw you online and I want to learn to invest. And they're at Starbucks with their second drink on Amazon, buying useless crap while they're streaming Netflix on their phone. So the interesting thing is, you know, you've got to do things now that will benefit you to do whatever the heck you want in the future. You can't get from where you are to there without changing how you spend your money, how you relate to money, and how you think. And the how you think, again, here we go back to that. How you think about money, about the future, about your ability to multiply is far more important than you studying every chart on the planet. Because if you have a belief, okay, I did well on that, but that was just sheer luck, you'll never do it again. If you fixate on not losing money, you'll probably lose a lot of money. But if you fixate on multiplying, giving yourself time to develop the skill, then you're more likely to make more money.
Is knowing when to buy and sell a skill that is just accrued over time?
Yes. And it also comes from good research, because if you're going to buy or sell, unfortunately, a lot of people take advice from friends and family. Somebody just mentioned something. Oh my God, I made $250,000 in the bank, in the stock market today. And then all of a sudden you go run and buy that stock. They didn't tell you they lost half of it on the next trade. Mm-hmm. They didn't tell you that that was an anomaly, that it's probably not likely to happen again. But like Tesla goes up and down $5, sometimes $10 in a bull market. There was a day a year and a half ago when Tesla did $100 in a day, $100 per share in a day. Knowing when that will happen by understanding when is a company's earnings posted? How do people typically respond to earnings? What happens when the feds talk? What happens when Jerome Powell opens his mouth to the market? What typically happens in a bull market? What is the psychology of what happens in a bear market? And how do they differ? Will set you up to know when to buy and when to sell.
Crypto, yes or no?
Well, the reality is 98% of all the coins are going to disappear because they are not connected to anything with value. Even if they have $1 trillion market cap, they're going to disappear. And the starting of that has already happened with everything that's been happening in the last year and a half. I personally think before Bitcoin and a lot of these, you know, coins have their legitimate value and are used accurately, you're going to have the federal government trying to control it all. Because they're not going to leave that much money on the table and not try to become a part of it. And we've already seen that. So I personally pulled all my money out of crypto, quadrupled everything I had in there with other investments, and I'll get back into crypto when some of this rigmarole changes. Now, there's a lot of well-educated people who know crypto way more than I do, who would say, just hang on to it and ignore it like it's a long-term investment. And I don't object to that theory either. I was working to grow my first $3 million, which would be a nice little nest egg as I approach 30, and then multiply that as well. And my goal was, how quickly can I do that with the skill that I have? So I now have enough money to live for, you know, 10, 20, 25 years on $100,000 a year if I wanted to. And now I'm actually at the point of, again, looking at crypto. So make sure that if you do buy, it's a coin that's attached to something of value. It's not like, you know, Dogecoin or whatever. Make sure it's something that's attached to value. I personally think Bitcoin is going to have to change because it uses far too much energy. And it was created in a different time period. You know what I mean? With everything that's going on right now, I personally think we're going to see a competitor to Bitcoin that will be much easier to use and much, you know, not use as much energy. And again, I don't have as much insight into crypto as I do, but I know you have to look for what is the problem it's solving. How is it doing that? What is the moat around that company or that coin that competitors can't penetrate through without a big fight. And here's the other key. What are they doing in the future? Because what they're successful in now means nothing if they have no plan for innovation, no plan for ideas. And AI is the big thing. AI is bigger than social media. AI is like in 2008, I started coaching and, you know, walked onto social media, and AI will be bigger than that. It is bigger than that. All of social media is already driven by AI. Yeah. So investments in AI is always a wise thing.
It's a crazy world. What is your benchmark for a good return on investment? One, three,
I don't
five,
even
six,
have a benchmark.
Eight.
Isn't that funny? I want $1 to $2 a share. Like legit. Now, if I'm going to do something that's long hold, obviously I want that investment to be equal with the SPY. Traditional financial planning advice, you want to do at least 8 to 10% a year. But if I'm going to go and do a day trade, I want $1 or $2 a share with that trade. And so that's my benchmark. If I can't even make 50 cents to a dollar, I'm not in it.
What is the, and you don't have to answer this question. This just came off the top of my head. What is the most you've ever done in a day trade?
$438,000 in a week.
Wow.
And in a day trade, it was $195,000 in a day.
Wow. What's the most you've ever lost in a day? Because I want to be transparent with people.
Well, and I don't lose as much anymore because I'm really developing my skill, but $93,000.
Okay.
But let me show you this. What day is it today? The 7th?
July 7th. I don't know when this will be released. Soon.
Okay, but this is today. That's today's profit.
Okay. All right. For you people.
$104,245.
$104,000. Well, maybe you're going to break your record today.
It's like my investments are starting to make more than my company, even though I'm retired and my team runs it. And I am only work 5 to 7 hours a week, is still generating millions of dollars. And now as soon as my investments were making more, it was like, boing! All of a sudden it felt like I had fresh wind from God. Like, I'm just so excited about the stock market. I see that I could do this 5 to 7 hours a week for the rest of my life from anywhere. You could drop me out of a plane with an internet connection and I can make money anywhere. So I'm excited about it.
That's incredible. Okay, we're going to transition to the last portion of the podcast called the Semen Analysis. So I found, I got on PubMed and I'm like, okay, there's got to be some scientific literature about financial investments and how it impacts our health. And sure enough, I found something that was published in the Journal of Health Promotion in March of 2016. So it's not like that super old, but the study was titled "The Impact of College Student Financial Health on Other Dimensions of Health," and the researchers were basically examining these college students and their financial health and then their other health indicators to figure out if there was some overlap or integration of financial health into undergraduate studies. And it was a cross-sectional design study. They looked at over 3,000 undergraduate students. They surveyed them. They collected all this data. And what they found was that every dimension of health was impacted significantly by lower levels of financial health, meaning if they didn't have good financial health, every single dimension of their physical health was impacted. And this is no surprise at all, because Sandy has kind of alluded to this, but the participants' emotional health was impacted far more than any other dimension, with significant impacts on their concentration, usefulness, decision-making, and happiness just by the mere presence of a budget.
I'm telling you. Because it gives you peace knowing there's certain things I can control and there's certain things I can't control. And I'm actually doing the best to manage what I have and multiply what I have. That's why I tell people, I don't care if you're starting out with $100,000 or $1,000. The principle of multiplication doesn't change. And being able to even like my challenging my own beliefs with my trauma, my own beliefs about family, et cetera. Because Jamie, you know, I don't talk a lot about it, but it's going to be in an upcoming book that I'm writing about the brain healing. I would love your listeners who might think I'm just some special whatever to realize that I was violated by a psychopath pedophile who was one of my parents. I was given electroconvulsive therapy against my will by that same parent doing Munchausen by proxy. The statistics and probability that I should never be able to do this, let alone even have this conversation with you today, is not in my favor. The statistics and probability is that I would be an addict, that I'd be dead by suicide, that I would have split personality, and that I wouldn't be able to think. But see, I believe there is something that we don't talk enough about, but you do all the time, and that is human potential. And our potential is what fires me up. Like the ability of the human spirit and the body to recover. And no matter how old or young we are, if we challenge our beliefs and we challenge what we know to be, to see if there might actually be more, is so remarkable. I'll probably spend the rest of my life continuing to study that.
That is a great way to wrap this up, Sam.
Brain's ability to heal. Gosh, there's so many great modalities, whether it's EMDR or microdosing of psilocybin or ketamine or whatever it is. We are the most powerful supercomputer on the face of the earth. Yep. And never forget, AI has nothing to pull had we not created the data. We're not only hard to kill, I believe we're invincible if we remember who we are.
I love it. I love it. Amen. Okay, Sandy, tell people how they can find you if they want to be a student of yours and learn from you and investing.
You can find me on Instagram, is usually the best place to get me. I do have several million people on Facebook, but I don't answer DMs. So if anybody has a question I can help with, they can DM me on Instagram. I am now on Threads. We'll see how long that lasts.
I haven't done it. I got really tempted this morning, but I haven't done it.
The only reason I had to is because I have over 200 impersonators already. And it was like,
and
then I was like, I wonder if they'll be happy people, if they'll all be angry like Twitter.
I can't do Twitter. I've got Twitter. I've got TikTok. I have all the things. I'm most active on Instagram, but every single time I open Twitter to go there, I'm like, bye.
I want to beat someone up when I'm on Twitter for too long. I'm like, I got to go work out.
Yeah,
but my website is arealchange.com.
Arealchange.com. Amazing. Yep. Sandy, thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing your wealth of knowledge and your story with us. I know somebody listening, it's going to change their life. Thank you all for listening. If this was helpful to you in any way, shape, or form, please share it with your family and friends. We appreciate you guys spreading these messages around the world. Have a good day. Did you guys love that last episode of the Fit and Fabulous podcast? Well, of course you did. And I want to keep bringing you the most amazing content from the most incredible people. And you can help me by subscribing to the Dr. Fit and Fabulous channel. You guys know where the button is. Just click it. It's the doctor's orders.